sea. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Let's sing it now. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Yes, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Let's stay and sing it now. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is.
The Lord. Amen. What a mighty God Jesus is. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight? Praise the Lord. So glad you're here. Trust you've come to receive something tonight from the service. I know God is here to give you what you have need of. Maybe not what you're looking for, but He knows what we need, Brother Terry. So we just commit it all unto Him tonight. Brother Kirk Sacker wants to thank you for praying for Brother John Sacker, his father. He is improving every day since this last heart attack, and they just want to say praise the Lord and thank you for praying on his behalf. I want to remember the Thacker family in Kingsport. Linda Thacker passed away on Monday night. They're asking that we would remember that family in prayer as we pray tonight, that God would just comfort their hearts. Brother Reese sends that in. Also, Sister Natalie Yontz is very sick tonight. She's back in Zion, Illinois at the hospital. They had to actually postpone a surgery that they were planning to do for her. Just some things going on that they're really concerned about. And some more tumors have been found in her body. So we certainly want to pray for our sister tonight, Sister Natalie, the family, that God would just touch our sister, and may she be wrapped in the arms of great Jehovah. Amen. We just commit her to the Lord tonight. The Maxwell family, I want you to know that Brother Jim Maxwell has been admitted to the Holston Valley Hospital because the wound became infected. Thank you for your continued prayer and support. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jim Maxwell, that the Lord would just be with our brother, bring him along. An urgent unspoken prayer request tonight for the Joel Moyer family. We commit that unto the Lord. Brother Matthew Carter sends this in, an unspoken prayer request for Brother Mark Carter. So we just pray for that need tonight. Sister Sims was admitted. Sister Sue Sims was admitted to the hospital today for observation and test because of chest pain. So we certainly want to pray for our sister, that the Lord would just be mindful of her tonight. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is at home sick with back pain and other health problems. Also, Brother Baker suffering with many health issues, so we just commit those folks unto the Lord tonight. Sister Barron wants us to remember her son in prayer, Bruce. He left for Europe today. He'll be gone for a week. Just pray for traveling mercy and the hand of protection from the Lord in his behalf. Brother Terry Horn wants to offer this testimony tonight. I would like to take a moment to express to the Lord my most sincere gratitude for the miracle that he bestowed in Sister Alice's life. Today is her six-year anniversary from her second liver transplant. The doctors gave her a year and a half. God gave her an extension. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Sing it to Him, church. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. One more time with all your heart. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Yes, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Praise the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just commit it all into the great hand of Jehovah. How many of you know that God is bigger than whatever your problem is tonight? How many of you knows this, that God loves you more than you can ever imagine? He loves you so much, and He is so concerned about whatever your situation would be. Do you believe that about your Heavenly Father? I believe that more than I believe we're sitting and standing in this building, that He loves us. He cares about us. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Byron Palmer, would you come tonight? Brother Byron, come if you would. Lead us to the Lord. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight and ask Him to have His perfect divine will on all these needs that we've asked Him about tonight. Brother Palmer, God bless you.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we've come this night. Lord, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to come, oh God. But we would come in vain if You were not here to be with us. Oh Lord, we want to welcome You. Oh God, and may everything that's accomplished in the service be for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we come, we have these petitions that have gone out before us. Lord, You know each one. Oh God, Sister Natalie Yance, Lord, she needs a mighty healing touch, oh God. These other needs, Lord, You know that each heart, Lord, is sitting here that raised a hand for an unspoken request. Lord, You know the ones that are streaming the services, oh Lord, around the world. The needs there in each individual life. Those over in the fellowship hall, wherever they may be, Lord. Oh God, we just present them to You. Where else can we go? You only have the words of eternal life. You have the healing power. Our trust is in You, precious Lord. Oh God, now as we come to the further part of the service, Lord, we want to just open our hearts now to hear what You have for us. Lord, and not only hear, but we know it'll be the Word, and we want that Word to live in us. Anoint the man of God as he comes forth. Give him strength in body. Lord, we just, once again, Lord, we appreciate the privilege that we have of gathering together to hear Your Word. Bless us in the further part of the service, we pray. We commit it all to You. Commit ourselves to You now. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well tonight. Let's sing a song. What can wash away your sin and my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. late request here. Let's just look at this. Please pray for Sister Aretha McQueen. She's at the hospital having tests for possible heart problems. Sister Sylvia Barham sends that in. So let's just add that to our list tonight to pray that the Lord would be with our sister. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, sing it to him now, church. Well, oh, precious. Didn't even know my microphone wasn't even on. Now let's sing that one more time. Because it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Aren't you glad that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ still real, still covers you tonight? Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Oh, because it reaches to the highest mountain. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Brother Donnie's going to be getting ready to come here just in a few minutes. Bring us the word of the Lord. And I just complimented Brother Darrell and Brother David. Also just the fine messages that brought us on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday. How many of you really appreciate the word of the Lord? It's just so good. And we just appreciate our brothers yielding themselves to the Lord and just bringing us the pure word of God. And of course, our pastor is going to be here speaking for us here just in a few minutes. And we just want to pray that God would just give him so much energy that he won't know what to do with himself. Amen. We just pray for our pastor's strength. Let's sing a little chorus as he gets ready to come out and bring us the word of the Lord here tonight. We're going to keep pressing on, aren't we? How many of you are going to keep pressing on? Well, the rest of you going to sit and watch us press? How many of you are going to help us press on? How many of you feel like quitting tonight? That's good. How many of you feel like pressing on? Let's stand to our feet and let's press one more time as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. We're going to keep pressing on. Oh, yes, we're pressing on. We're going to keep pressing on. We're going to keep pressing on, pressing on the higher calling of our Lord. Now, old Satan tries to stop us, turn us aside, said no need for you to go on. I wouldn't even try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. We'll just say, Satan, we're going to prove you're a liar again. We're going to keep pressing on. We've got to keep on pressing.
The Lord. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'd like to speak to you tonight on what's happening in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So the time frame of this setting in Revelation 5 is after Christ has been made a man, resurrected, but before the bride is reigning. So it's in between this increment of time after his ascension. Watch this again now. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now notice where they've come from. Out of every kindred. So this is after the shedding of the blood. Wasn't before the blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation has made us unto our God kings and priests. Now already they are kings and priests by position, but they're not reigning yet. And we shall reign. Future tense. Shall reign on the earth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so thank you tonight for your word. Father, we count it a great honor that we could be once again in the presence of God. Not in the presence of God, but in the presence of the saints. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together with people of like precious faith. We think, Lord, that these people, many of them no doubt that we're standing shoulder to shoulder with tonight, we will spend eternity with them. They will be our neighbors, the next palace down the road or across the street. Oh, God, what a glorious time that'll be. I pray as we sit together in heavenly places tonight, may you speak to us from your great oracles, Lord God. Help me, I pray, that I can get out of the way, that you can be able to speak through me, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We know in order to prepare for the rapture, there is so much that must be done by the bride on the earth. We preach about that a lot, about what we must do, how our lives must match the word, certain do's, certain don'ts, certain things that God wants us to do, wants us to look like, wants us to become. But there is another side of that preparation which is not actually on our part, but it is actually on His part. So much that we can do, we can live a life that is worthy of the gospel, we can be able to read the word, pray, go to church, prioritize, so on and so on and so on that we can do. Yet all of that without a correlating part that is transpiring in heaven will never produce a person that will be rapture ready or rapture worthy. So there is something that is actually going on in heaven while there is a preparation time for the bride on the earth. Now, it's very important that we look at that and know, because in the sequence of time, in the way that we look at Christ Jesus, has a great deal to do with what He can do for us. We can only be identified and recognized with the full benefit of His blessings if we understand what position that He is currently in. When the woman cries out to Him when He's here, Son of David, have mercy on me, Son of David, Son of David, Jesus, of course, turns and calls her a dog, not only because she's a Gentile, but because she's making a claim on the wrong dispensational title. Because he is not son of David to her. But once she moved over into the realm of Lord, then it was able to release to her something that he could not give to her under the title of son of David.
Now, if we are calling upon the Lord Jesus tonight and we believe that He is already the crowned King and that He's moved beyond the great office of high priest, that He's moved beyond the office of great high priest, then you realize He cannot minister to us in the office of high priest as long as we're looking for Him to be King. If we think He is our judge, He cannot minister to us in the office of high priest. So it's very important that we identify what He is doing now to know how to approach Him to be able to reach what God wants us to have to make the proper preparation. Now, looking at this, God Himself, knowing that there would be certain dispensational claims upon His own name and upon His own character, that He would actually change this office from Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, and He let it out this way. But yet, notice, if you'll read with me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Now remember, this is the apostolic foundation by which Malachi 4 is to turn our hearts back to this foundation of the Word. Now remember, the apostolic faith was the original faith that God gave after the Holy Ghost. We believe that, do we not? So the apostolic faith believed that Jesus was their high priest in heaven. Now, they believed that that was of a necessity in order for Him to be there, not only for to be a mediator for their sins, but also as an intercessor in the time of trouble. Now, you see, many folks think once they get saved, they no longer need a mediator or a high priest that will be a transitionary person to go between them and Spirit God. You don't just need a mediator for when you are a sinner. You need a mediator when you are sick. You need a mediator when you have infirmities. It's not just when you are lost, but we have a high priest, so thank God that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Now, watch how Paul identifies. Of course, you've read the New Testament and you know that Jesus was given the threefold title claim of priest, high priest, and great high priest. Now, notice this thing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now notice again, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16, he says, "For verily he took on him not the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Now, what's the office of high priest? He could not be a faithful, merciful high priest as long as he did it in the form of Melchizedek. Now remember, Brother Bim says, after Melchizedek left from appearing there in Genesis, we hear no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. But Melchizedek could not be our priest under the atonement of the New Testament. Now think, Melchizedek was a proper priest for meeting Abraham in the book of Genesis, but he would have not been the proper priest. I feel like shouting a little bit. He would not have been the proper priest for you and I, because Melchizedek was a theophany that appeared in a created human body that did not feel pain. It did not feel temptation. It did not feel sorrow, and so on and so on. But we are called after the order of Melchizedek, which is the power of an endless life. And we tonight, sitting here as the priest of God, we are after the order of Melchizedek, of an endless life, but we are after the order of Jesus Christ as long as we live in these human bodies. Now, in order, can you imagine that God by omniscience, God by omnipresence, God by knowing all things, by omnipotence, God by all these great characteristics, God could not become a high priest, not become a high priest in reality until he was made like his brothers. You think you want to be like God? God wanted to be like you, to make you like God. Notice this, "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Lord have mercy. that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Well, you mean he would have not been merciful had he condemned sin from the theophany, which started, of course, in the mind of God. And God, of course, as Brother David Preso said, not being the great fountain of attributes. And Brother Bam said he thought of himself as being a human being. Now remember, God never had a permanent flesh body till Jesus came on the earth. And he wanted to be a merciful and faithful high priest. He could not do that by creating himself a flesh body. He had to come in a body that could feel like you and I. He said, why was he born? He wanted to feel like the baby. Why did he come to a teenager? He wanted to be a teenager to know how teenagers would live. Hold on to your seat. He lived as a mortal man on this earth for 30 years without the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. He went through the teenage years without the Holy Ghost. But he went down there to the river that day. He wanted to know what it was like for a man to get the Holy Ghost. He wanted to know what it was like for a man to fight battles and fight powers. Why? So he could be merciful and faithful to you. Why? Does he need to be merciful and faithful? Because he knew his children was as hard-headed as a bunch of bricks. They were stubborn. They were lazy. They were sorry. As long as they were in this now. I ain't talking about the seed. I ain't talking about the soul. I'm talking about this. Why does our priest need to be merciful and faithful? He doesn't just need to be great, powerful, divine, supernatural, wonderful. He needs to be merciful. And he needs to be faithful. Why? Because I demand it. As long as I'm in this kind of body, I need a high priest that can be merciful. Don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. You're the same way. Because you'll do some of the dumbest things over and over again. Even after you get saved, after you come to the knowledge of the truth, you'll walk right into things and you knew better than to do it in the first place, and you walk right into it. So you don't need a great high priest. You don't need a wonderful one. You need a merciful one. One that is merciful and one that is faithful when you are not. Glory! Anybody ever get weak in faith? Anybody ever lie? All the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, go ahead and raise yours. Anybody ever doubt where God will move for you? Anybody ever come to a place you get flustered and wondered? You need a merciful high priest. The way he's proved himself to you, we should never doubt. But this is not born again. Of all the great attributes that Christ could have had, and Paul could identify and recognize in him. Why pick these two? That he might be a merciful and faithful, not priest now, but high priest. In things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation, which is, the word reconciliation is for one to propitiate themselves. Or to facilitate their own being in the stead of. So he's to make reconciliation between us and God. Oh my. Aren't you glad he's more merciful than we are to ourselves? And that we are to one another. How many people have we cut off and think, man, they're too far gone. They messed up so many times. Oh, how little did we know that might have been a very gene of God whose name was on that book of life. And we would have cut them off and threw them to hell. But the faithful, merciful high priest said, oh, no, you don't. That's one of mine. That's one of mine. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. How many knows that temptation can cause you to suffer? Jesus not only was tempted, He actually suffered temptation. He suffered, he went through temptation to such a degree, it made his mind suffer. His mental status suffer. His body suffer. He suffered like you.
And here's the reason. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, which is rescue or save, them that are tempted. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, high priest, our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice now in both of these passages of Scripture that Paul links profession to the office of our priest. We are to hold to our profession in the other chapter, and here he says that he is the high priest of our profession. And profess and confess, of course, is the same word. So then, in order for us to receive the full benefit of his office as high priest, there must be a profession which will match the identified word. Now, if we are saying that the days of mercy are over while he's still interceding, he cannot act on what we are saying. Glory. Good friend, don't try to figure out when it's over. Just get in and get everybody in you can and let God turn off the off switch. God didn't put me and you in charge of the off switch of mercy and grace and all that. Only God knows when that is. Don't worry about all that. Just do what you can do to get them in. Praise the Lord. But if we profess, I know that you're very ignorant to many, many doctrines that are preached around this message. These sort of things will never be hatched out in the denominations. I know we make fun of them and we laugh at them. I've come to the realization where I realize it's really not going to be what they say that's going to bring the most reproach and cause the biggest church splits in our message. It's going to be from quotes. I don't know if any church has ever split because somebody went to a Bible bookstore and read a Methodist book. But I know all kinds of churches splits and had all kinds of divisions over quotes. Over quotes. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. So you realize that there are people around the world who say that when Jesus Christ opened the seals in 1963, that the Lamb left the mediatorial throne and there is no intercessor and the bride doesn't need one. As a matter of fact, they say it's reverted back the way it was whenever Jesus, before his atonement, when he told the woman, your sins are forgiven. So now he's not on the mercy seat. He's no longer, we don't even need that no more. So if that is your profession, he can no longer help you in that capacity. No wonder people get spirits on them and attitudes on them and they don't think they need help. They can't be helped. Many of them realize they cannot be helped because they don't realize the office of that. We need this until the day we are changed. We need this as long as you've got a sickness in your body. You need the office of the high priest. As long as you've got an infirmity in your body, you need that office to reconcile your body to God. What is divine healing? A reconciliation from sickness back to health. What's the body change? A reconciliation from the body of Adam to the body of the second Adam. What is salvation? Reconciliation from a lost soul to a found soul. Notice this. Look again in Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have. Oh my. You may not need him, you may not want him, whatever more, but I have, oh glory, hallelujah, seeing then that we have a great high priest, the excellency of his office surpasses that of Aaron, it surpasses that of Melchizedek, it surpasses that of even his earthly ministry. He has now gone into the heavenly places. What's how Paul brings this as he transcends beyond the human office. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Now remember, the Jewish high priest went one time a year
into the holiest of holies. So he passed into the holiest of holies, but he could not stay. As a matter of fact, he'd go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out 7 times. He had to change his clothes, certain things he had to do, but he could not live there only one day a year. Watch how Paul parallels the ascent of our high priest. Now the Jews, oh my, they how they love the laws, how they loved the prophet, how they loved all those things. But remember, they needed a priest even after they received the commandments. They needed the office of priesthood to be able to bring their sacrifice and for the atonement of their sins. Or the plumbing of the prophet didn't really do them much good. Thank God for the coming of Brother Branham, but if you ain't got a priest tonight, you're as lost as you can be. Believing God sent a prophet ain't going to save you. It's believing there is a high priest that is standing in your stead. So what then is going to become of our young people whenever they are taught and purported to them by many so-called great leaders in this message? All you got to do is love Brother Branham. Because the voice said everything that you ever loved and ever loved, you will be there. So all you got to do is love Brother Branham. So you don't need a high priest, right? Which means you're lost. And no way for you to be saved because your profession does not match that which God is currently doing. Now watch, he says, sing then that we have a great high priest. A great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's gone in and sprinkled the blood in the holy place. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Jesus, the Son of God, not the son of Aaron, not the son of Moses, not the son of Brother Branham, not the son of Don Reagan, not the son of Cecil Baird, but whatever your dad is, but the Son of God, showing the order from where Jesus came from. Jesus, amen, Jesus was from the Word. Now remember, this is showing his lineage as it was to his office. Jesus, the Son of God. And he is, all glory, he is the high priest, which means there's others under him. And what is their lineage? The same as his, of course. Sons of God. Now because we have this, let us hold fast our profession. Now, Paul wants those believers to realize and know in that day as all seven church ages must follow in the same sequence. And those of you that listen to the message, you know that Brother Branham used this over and over and over again. And he would use this many times in the prayer line for discernment, even after the seals was open. Now, we have then a high priest which moves upon the cause of God to bring reconciliation between a son and a daughter. It begins when you were at that infant state that we would call lost. It will begin when you were the prodigal thought of God or the prodigal son. Now as we looked at the prodigal son not long ago and we realized that the prodigal son is not really a story of a backslider per se, as it is of God's attributes that was away from him, and they always were thoughts, they always were sons. But they went down there and amen, he was not a hog when he was in the pig pen. He was still a son. But he was a son out of fellowship. So reconciliation is to bring that boy back to father's house. Now, then along this boy's journey, as the seed germ becomes quicker now, the enemy will attack the boy. He will attack his body. He will attack his walk. He will try to get him down, weary, discouraged, whatever. He will slip and fall and make mistakes. But because the ministry of reconciliation is ongoing under the administration of the high priest, he constantly has a resource back to the presence of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So if you get sick, well, we believe in praying for the sick. And you get your body healed. And if you don't get it healed, then you get a new one. So either way, you're going to win. Now, watch this. So let us hold fast our profession. What is it now? Our profession. And the prophet said that Jesus can only do for you in heaven as you confess on earth that he's doing it. Now, let's just look at a little confession then. We confess there's no more lamb on the mercy seat. And the lamb is now in the throne of my heart only. And I'm bride, so I don't need no mediator. So you're saying Peter was bride and he did, and you're bride and you don't. Paul was bride and he did, and you're bride and you don't. Somebody help me understand what's going on here. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Donnie, you'll come to the revelation. It's not actually written. You're terribly wrong. If it's not actually written, I won't come to that revolution. Because it is a revolution, not a revelation. Revelation, you can tie it right back to what's already been said, friends. Right? This is why, for those who have a true understanding, you see, the truth is always in the middle of the road. That's why we got this great division, the ranks of the message, that some say, well, the seven seals haven't been opened. They can't be. Because this and this and this. Others say, oh yeah, it's all been opened, and the Lamb left, and it's all off of there. Neither one of them is totally right. The whole truth is right in the middle. How many believe Jesus is coming this day? How many believe Jesus is coming in this day? Y'all messed up or what? So you believe he's coming? He's coming? But see, the other side of go, wherever you, oh, no, nothing ever happened. Oh yeah, he's already come. The rapture's already took place. Resurrection's already over. No, the truth is in the middle of the road. He took the book truly. He pulled back the mystery of the seals truly. But did he stop being my high priest? He did not. How can you make such a bold statement? I am a living testimony. You folks have prayed for me. Folks have prayed for me in the last week or two around the world. I've been sick and just all run down and all that. You touched the high priest. The high priest sent a charge down into my body and changed my body back to a state of health. And you're going to tell me the high priest is not still on the throne, still doing his work? I'm going to tell you he is. Every testimony we hear, God heal me, God done this. Don't you understand? It's the high priest. Why would Paul say, let us hold fast our profession of him being the high priest? Unless there would be someone or many someones who were going to be trying to take it away from you. You don't have to hold fast to something nobody else wants. Remember the sermon Brother Dale preached last Wednesday night about the thief. You've got something the thief wants. So why would he tell us, hold fast to your profession that you've got a priest? I'll tell you, friend, whenever you get down and make a mistake, anybody ever make a mistake here besides me? So tell me, which deep mystery is it that you get back up on your feet with? When you fall flat on your face, bust that big fat mouth of yours. Make yourself look like a fool. Tell me, what deep revelation is it? Which one of the seals? Which one of the thunders? Do you go back and box the devil in the mouth and say, I'll tell you one thing, I know this and I know that. Or don't you crawl back to the throne of grace and beg for mercy from the high priest? Come on! But what if that profession is taken from you? And you believe you don't need repentance. I don't have to repent. I don't have to make anything right. I'm living in the day where nothing's even charged to me. Blessed are those who the Lord don't impute sin to. I'm living a day, nothing's even charged to me. I can dress like this and that. I can do this and that. God don't even look at that no more. You realize what they've done? Totally displaced the high priest. A person like that wouldn't need a merciful and faithful high priest. A person like that needs a throne because they're a God. The I just say, Jesus, would you scoot over? Is there room for me in your throne? I've spent lots of time before the throne, not too much in it, but before it. Maybe you're a regular one to sit in the throne. You move Jesus over and he goes, go ahead and sit at your feet. I've been at the throne a lot of time, Brother Terry. You've known me for many, many years. Most of my time been out at the bottom of it. Maybe some of y'all been privileged to be at the top. I kind of doubt it, but I mean, if you think that you have been, you know. But most of mine has been before the throne. But you realize that only those who know they have that access. Oh, you say, well, don't that make you want to sin? If you're born of the Spirit of God, it breaks your heart when you do something wrong. And if it don't, I question your birth. If you say, well, I can do what I want to, he'll forgive me. If you're really born again, you don't want to do wrong. But you slap up and you make a mistake and you do something wrong. And you go back to his throne. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to say that. I got in a time of weakness and I said, I don't know if you even love me or not. I don't know if you'll ever hear me. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. You don't go to him as an equal. And what do you think, old buddy, old pal, old chum? You know, just kind of, you know, forget that one last thing I said. But you go to him, oh, Father, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I need reconciliation. My heart, Lord, feels, oh, my heart feels so heavy and weighted down. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. Oh. Notice verse 15 of chapter 4. Paul says, we have not high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, not our sins. Now this is after you're a Christian. Your infirmities, not your sins. Now if we had a high priest that was cold, unfeeling, uncaring, just mechanical, would it make you to want to go to him over and over and over again, or would you pretty much want to stay away from him? If he was mean and contrary and harsh and hateful, oh my, and really could not sympathize, and you'd go to him with your blunders and your ignorant sins and things that are just blatantly wrong, and you'd go to him and say, Darrell Ward, what is the matter with you? And how long has it been since you've been serving me? And it's took you this long and you're still messing up? I'm thinking about getting somebody else to take your place. The next time you made a mistake, you'd probably reminisce that conversation and think it over really strong and think, I'm not sure I want to go back to my high priest. I think I'll just try to work this out on my own. So we have a priest that entered into the realm of human feeling. I know this totally overwhelms the Jesus onlys in the message. But Jesus was so much a man that he could be tempted and tested sexually by women. Here he was. How can I overcome? Brother Bram says that the whole deity of Jesus Christ many places in the message if you believe the message is true. Now Jesus was also tempted by drinking. He was tempted to take the great possession of the world without the cross. Go the easy way, which we're tempted also to do that. He was tempted to receive power without character, which will be one of the great things that always fights preachers. You see, when God gifts a man, and this is the way I look at preachers, and you may wonder sometimes why I don't use this man or that one or that one or that one to push people. I don't push no preachers. No. Preachers are responsible for making other preachers fail. Because they'll take a man that they see a gift in his life, and they'll push him out beyond the growth of his character. When his gift might excel his character, but if you let God work them together, his character will grow and the gift will make room. The character will grow and the gift will make room. But if preachers push him out there before his character is ready, you watch and want him that'll ever stand. But if God will nudge them along, character and gift to go hand in hand, no matter how big he gets, how many places he preaches, he's got the character to match the gift. So Jesus felt that smart aleck attitude. I know none of y'all feel it, but there's some sorry rascals here at the end of these church services, so we'll say it for their sake. Jesus fought a know-it-all attitude. He had to, because there's so many folks in the message in the last day that have it, he had to fight it. And the truth of it is, he didn't know it all. We don't know nothing, yet we think we do, yet he knew it all, but he still couldn't have that attitude. You see, to know it all and have the attitude, he's still been wrong. So even though he knew it all, he couldn't let everybody know he knew it all. So he had to fight what? The thing of not knowing it? No, he knew it. But fight the attitude of showing it. Now what's all this for? All this learning of human experience was picked up in the earth, not created by the Logos. These characteristics could have been embedded in him as God put in a pine tree, as God put in an oak, as God put in a maple, as God put in an ash, as God put the different bark characteristics, the different flowering, so on and so on. But instead, God said no. When he created the Logos, he left this out of its characteristics and said, this must come by experience. So the Logos spanned the heavens. The Logos hung the earth. The Logos paced the stars. But the Logos couldn't feel and understand how when David looked out of his window and saw Bathsheba, the Logos couldn't understand that when the law of God said, you'll not do this. How could Moses, the great man of God, lose his temper because of the people and throw the commandments that God himself wrote and throw it down and break it? The Logos couldn't understand that. That could only be gotten by human experience. So he comes to the earth to get an element of humanity. So he can take that learning back to heaven with him. Don't you understand? You're on the same epic journey. You began your journey in the back part of God's mind. There was no cosmic light, no atoms, no stardust, no molecules. There was nothing. But in the eternal. And in the eternal, he had these attributes. So he thought of himself. He thought of you. He thought of himself. Now remember, Brother Ram says that Eve was God's perfect thought of a woman. God's perfect thought. So that thought did not start, and that thought still exists. So God still has a thought of a perfect woman. Sisters, this is what you are pressing into. Now, brothers, that thought does not pertain to us. God also had a thought of a perfect man. Amen. Amen. And when he comes upon the earth, what does he do? He gains all of this. And does he lay it out of sight and say, well, so much for all that, now I'll leave all that there. No. This will be taken for future use. So he's raised in a glorified body. Sat on the Father's throne in a priestly office. And with the human understanding that he got on the earth, he now operates this new office. So when the Holy Ghost comes and the brothers go to letting the Spirit of God burst them, and they go to singing, it's all for them. And when the message first starts, they get real organizational with it. Because they think it ain't for nobody but Jews. Let me tell you something, friend. It's not just so much the writings and the teachings of the organization that we have to worry about. It's the spirit of organization. The spirit of organization is what's going to attack this message. It's going to convince us we're the only ones. We're better than everybody else, and if they're going to get anything at all, they're going to come for us. You're going to be surprised one of these days, and you find out there's going to be millions of folks that's going to make it, and they never come to this church. They never believe the message of the hour. They're not bride. Now, remember, if they're bride, they got to come to the word of this hour. But we do not want to get that spirit on us. I am a child of truth, so all truth is my inheritance. If I hear a Baptist preacher say a truth, that's mine. If I hear some denominational person that wrote a song that was inspired and it was truth, that's mine. I am a child of truth. It ought to be pretty evident to us by now. You understand why some of these Baptists and Methodists and these theologians out here have written books on the families and this and that and the other. And you understand why they have some principles and some truths that are actually there? Because we've spent many years of our journey preaching on the great deep things. Preaching everybody else out. Preaching us the only ones. Now that we're facing some of the same problems they're facing, we begin to look around and say, uh-oh, maybe we've missed something. Oh, y'all didn't like that, did you? You see, you need a high priest more than you thought. When you get that old denominational self-righteous spirit on you, think you're the only one going. If Jesus didn't intercede between you and God, God would kill you sitting right there in that pew. Some of you would die of a heart attack if you seen somebody walk in here with some denominational book under their hand and you're sat there with the same spirit on you. There ain't nobody going but us. We're the only one. But I'll tell you one thing, Brother Donnie's ministry is greater than all of them. That's a devil on you. You ain't complimentary to me. You ain't paying complimentary to God. Come on, church. Yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm not sure y'all will be, but I am. But we have not have a high priest which cannot be touched. Cold, heartless, could not feel. Can you imagine when I go to God and I say, God, I'm not sure I can take another day. I don't think I can take. Brother Jack, when you go out and preach, your sisters raising your children, your brothers on your job, whatever your stress is, and you think, God, I don't know. It's so strange. It's so difficult living in this day. It's so hard. God, I don't think I can take another day. You're expressing unbelief. Now, whether you want to admit it, you are expressing unbelief. God, I can't preach. I can't do this. So you're telling God you can't do what God before the world ordains you to do. Your mothers are telling God, God, I can't do this. I just can't do it. These kids are driving me nuts. They're going to put me in jail for murder because I'm going to kill all these humans. I just cannot do this. No, no, no. Stop saying that. Do you want him to act on what you just said? There is a proper way to say it. God, if you don't help me, I'm going to kill these kids. God, I believe I can do this, but God, I need your help, and I need it in a hurry. My picture is going to be in the paper by the end of the week if you don't come on the same, Lord. God, don't mind us telling him we need his help. God, don't mind us telling him we need help to do what he's called us to do. But God don't like it when we tell him we cannot do what he ordained us to do before there was ever a storm. You see, his coldness would expel us. His stately majesty as a king, one who was there with a diadem and a crown of splendor and a robe of magnificent, luminous white. so brilliant that you came before him in prayer and you're begging for mercy. And the brightness would be so great you'd be as John, you'd fall at his feet as a dead man. But instead you approach him. Your brother, Lamb. You know, myself, when I talk to the Lord, I talk to him just like I talk to anybody else. I mean, with respect and honor. I learned years ago, I don't have to go to God with all the these and the thous and the this and that and the other. I don't have to use theological terms. I don't have to impress God. He's not easily impressed. I don't have to pick all them things. I just talk to him like I talk to you. And just go to him, Lord, I'm having trouble. Lord, I'm going through this and that and the other. And you look at the prayers that people would pray in the message and how that Brother Branham would take notes and how it moved the heart of God. Remember that old colored woman standing there that day at that fence? Oh, my. And she'd been up all night waiting for Elijah to come through. And she got down and Brother Branham said, now, sister, you pray first. And he said, friend, you could tell from listening to her. She had talked to him before. Oh, glory to God. No doubt she was not a great theologian. She might not have said the great words, but she was on a friendship basis with the high priest. Hallelujah. She was not worried about theology. She wanted to touch God's heart. Hallelujah. But you see, there's something about tenderness and mercy that attract feeble folk in the time of need. Amen. Stateliness and greatness and magnificence and personification of worldly pomp and glory. Most of us are just common poor folk. We wouldn't know how to relate to uppity-ups, up-dykes, or whatever you call them. I've been privileged to see certain people. You know, I flew on an airplane one time with a great golf player one time, professional. What was that guy's name? Lefty something or other. I sat right by him on the airplane. And I saw people coming and, man, people just getting his autograph. And I thought, who is that guy? So I thought the way to resolve this issue was ask him. So I asked him and he told me. I still didn't know who he was. I guess he thought, you nut. You mean you don't want my autograph? I didn't, because it didn't mean nothing to me. Glory. Oh my, I've been privileged to meet, you know, some important people. And I always feel so small because personally, I don't feel important. You know, I don't feel great. I just don't. I never have and I never will. This is why I know I've got to be changed in order to stand in the presence of greatness. And if my Lord Jesus expressed that, I could never go to him and say, sir, I had doubt today. Please don't throw me in hell. Please, I beg you. I beg you, please. And I looked at his eyes and there were a flame of fire and his feet brass and lightning and thunder proceeded out of his mouth. I'd be out of there. Amen. Don't sit there and look at me. You would be too. But if I can look in my mind's eye, when I approach the throne, I hear a voice so faintly. Father, forgive Donnie. You see, he's been under a lot. Forgive you. He didn't mean to throw off on your plate. He didn't mean to say he couldn't do what you called him to do. He didn't mean it. Right. Father, I remember that. When I was there in the garden, and I wept and asked you to take this cup from me. I'm sure glad God didn't answer that prayer. Where would I be tonight?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. Notice this. Paul says, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I don't mind telling you, this verse is somewhat discouraging. Because no matter how close I ever get to God, no matter how much I study, how much I pray, I'll never be able to say that about my human walk. You might as well nod your heads. You won't eat. And my soul, that's one thing. But Brother Dowell, I'll never get to a spot as long as I'm in this corruptible body that I can say I am without fault. Because I ain't supposed to lie. Now, I know some of y'all think you're without fault, but if you'll give me a notebook as big as this church, I'll help you see things. It's discouraging because you realize you struggle, and perfection is in you. And you'll never be able to bring this to it as long as the animal life dominates this place. You see, Paul, in saying of the resurrection, speaking of this body, says it is sown a natural body. It is sown a natural body. Which the word that he chose to use was the word for breath. Animal existence. So it is sown an animal body. But it is raised a spiritual. Let me go on. Now notice in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain revelation, greatness, glory, mercy. What in the world do we need mercy for? What in the world don't you need it for? I need it every day I live. I didn't just need it when I got saved, man. I've been saved most of my life. I've been preaching most of my life. I need mercy to help me to go on with my life's journey with what He's called me to do. Is that right with you? That we may come before the throne of grace for revelation. That's part of it. But here Paul is being able to introduce to the saints, this is an access that you have. Think of it, friends. There are billions of folks that go to church. Because the way their denominational mindset is preaching to them, it's preaching to them a sinful life, a life that is not worthy. And they approach the Lord Jesus as a promiscuous God that'll let them have homosexual lovers and lesbian lovers and adulterous lovers and lie and steal and cheat. And this is their opinion of Jesus. That Jesus accepts them all, embraces them all, and forgives them all. And they'll all be walking down the streets of gold. I'm sorry, that's not my Jesus. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Now listen, the office of the high priest. You don't just need him for Savior. And find grace to help in time of need. Anybody ever get there? I should say anybody don't. We all do. Notice Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Lord have mercy. Gifts and sacrifices. Do you understand when this book was opened? Your prayers, my prayers, was there before the throne of God. The saints. The gifts and the sacrifices are made possible through the perpetuation of the high priest. To where that your prayer is not that of a low down sorry sinner, but your prayer coming up through the blood actually becomes a gift in the presence of God from the book of remembrance. Not a penitent sinner, but a gift in the presence of. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, his own condition of humanity, would remind the high priest, how can I judge my brother who brought a lamb for this adultery? How can I judge my brother who brought this for that and that for that? I myself feel the same passions. And when you come before the Lord Jesus, he himself remembers. You know, friends, I hope you can understand this. There's an element of the word which cannot even be preached to you. There's an element of the word which cannot be created in you and it unfold its real existence. It's something that must be experienced. Don't you understand why testimonies can be such a powerful thing? I watched you here Sunday as Brother Darrell was reiterating to us the parts about Jessica and the different things that she went through. And I watched you, and some of you have heard different parts of that for many years. And yet I watched you, and I've heard him tell it in other places, and see how that when people will hear that, now it's not back in the 50s. It's not back in the 60s. It's not back in the, you know, way back yonder when there's something in our own day that has happened to one of our brothers in our lives. Why does it do you so much good when Brother Lou stands up here and reads a testimony? It brings you to a knowledge to know the high priest is still on the throne. And that he's still answering prayer. He still is moving. Listen, my brothers, when you are fighting sexual battles, go to your priest and be honest. Your sisters, when you're fine. But Brother Donnie, Jesus was a man. But remember, temptation can only come in three ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Whether you're a man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, 185 years old, or whatever it is that it comes to. Three ways. And Jesus covered the scope of the entirety of temptation by allowing himself to be tempted in those three ways. Was Jesus tempted to go on the internet and look at pornography? Of course not. There was no internet. But he was tempted in the same channel because it can only come through three channels. So no matter what you face in this modern age of 2012, you can go to your high priest if it's the lowest filth and debauchery of sin. You can go to him and empty out your heart. Just tell him if you're struggling with doubts. Lord, I'm just doubting things. I'm doubting the program. I'm doubting this. You said, I'd be scared to death to tell him. Look, how's he going to help you unless you admit it? There's one thing I've found among us friends is that we're too proud to admit our problems and our troubles. Why? Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Anybody here willing enough tonight to say you've been ignorant? I ain't talking about 183 years ago. I'm talking about yesterday. Or today. Or 5 minutes before church started. But you see, if you don't admit you're ignorant, he can't help you. Because you think you're above this. I know this and I know that. I know a few things too. And this is one thing I know. I'm ignorant. If you know you're ignorant, you can't know you're ignorant being know-it-all. No way. It won't let you. You can never, if you know you're ignorant, you can never get to a spot to where you think you're above help because you know you're not. And as long as you're there, you've got a constant direct line to the high priest. Lord, forgive me for my ignorance. Forgive me, Lord, I messed up. I know better than that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. Lord, I'm sorry. I can't stand it when people get caught in sin and they're always blaming everybody. It's never their problem. It's never their fault. You never can pin them down to say they were wrong. I feel so sorry for a person like that. Because you realize even Almighty God can't help them. Notice, in the first seal, that's the reason Christ has to stay on the mediatorial seat there as an intercessor until that last one comes in at the last stage. And these revelations of what it's been breaks forth upon the people. And they see what's happened. Don't you see why we need him there even after the mystery of the seven seals? Look at what we've been through in this message after 1963. How many of you have backslid? Come to the Lord and backslid. Do I know some of you have? If mercy was over, there's no reason for you to even come back to church. I wasn't even saved. Many of you wasn't even saved. Not only that, but when I get sick, oh, you've actually been in you, brother. That's the secret of the whole thing. He's in you. He's in you. I know he's in me. But not only is he in me, but he's still there. And he will be until the morning of my change. Because I might be sick the day before, and I need a mediator for the feelings of my infirmities. Brother Dow, you didn't need a savior for your sin. You needed one to touch your body, brother. My sisters, my brothers, you didn't need one to save you after you got the Holy Ghost, but you needed one to intercede for your infirmities. When you get all down, Brother Jimmy, you don't know what to do, you need to go to a high priest that can just give you help in the time of need. Not that you're lost. Oh God, I need to get refilled with the Holy Ghost. I need to go back and rebaptize. I just need help in the time of need. Notice again, he said he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the last name is put on that book, has already received it, been sealed away. Now you got it. Then he comes forth from his throne, his father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hand from the throne and claims his rights. The first thing he does, call for his bride. Now, if he has left the mediatorial throne when he walks out, he cannot leave you on the earth another 24 hours. Can you imagine how many mistakes that you or me or people around the world would make if Jesus left the throne of mercy and it took him 24 hours in the transition from the time he left the throne until the moment of the rapture? When he leaves the throne, the rapture is on. Glory to God. He can't leave us down here 5 minutes without an intercession. Glory to God. He can't leave you down here one day without a high priest. When he steps off that throne and he rises and that bloody lamb, that robe falls off of him and he puts on that kingly garment, it's time to call the bride. First thing he does, he steps to the man you're talking about, bam, 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 bam. He steps off the throne, the next thing you're in heaven. Amen. Then the reconciliation from the second Adam is revitalizing, not bringing to divine healing, but bringing your body to a new one. Oh my. Third seal. Now you never noticed that before. Why? Talking about John. He'd been back in there doing his mediatorial work. What's going on in heaven? This. For he was bleeding for the people. Intercessing for the people. Until. Not till the seals was open. Not till 1963. Until the last soul that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life on the foundation of the world. Come in. When that last soul comes in, then the time of redemption is finished. Then the lambs come forth to claim his rights. You are his rights. Can't you see why it would hurt his heart when you would tell him in your sorrow, when I would tell him in my weak moments, I can't do this. I'm sorry, I just can't. There's no way. It's impossible. I'm telling him what he's done. It's a waste of time. I'm telling him what he said. It's not true. You ever grumble and complain? I'm not talking about cussing. I ain't talking about smoking. I ain't talking about just saying things like that in your heart. Brother Phil, and you feel so bad. I mean, that's all I'm talking about. And you feel so, the rest of people, you think, what in the world? That, my goodness, that shouldn't even bother you. Well, it shouldn't them, but it does you. Because you're in a different category. You're slamming his work. And he within you feels grieved because you're telling him you cannot do what you said. Lord Jesus. Stand. I want you to watch this. When I was doing this study, I started from the seals on to 65. And kept watching as Brother Branham kept following this same thought. That's important, friends, when you're setting the message. Remember, this is a progressive revelation. It was to him, it will be to us. Because remember, the same prophet that preached one God also said the Holy Ghost was the third person of the Godhead in the early 50s. Oh, glory. You didn't know it said that, huh? Over and over again. Ooh, Jesus. Somebody didn't like it, Lord. Now watch, in the sixth seal. He's standing in the holy place tonight. Watch now, sixth seal. When the seals are being opened and he's still identifying him in the holy place tonight in glory as an intercessor. Making intercession for every one of those souls whose name is on that book. And nobody knows that name but him. He's the one that's got the book in his hand and he knows when that last one comes in. Then his intercessory days is over. He comes forth then to claim what he's interceded for. He's doing the kinsman redeemer work now and he comes to receive his own. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us, Lord. I ask you, dear God, that you'd move on every one of our hearts here tonight and those that will hear this service by whatever means. May we be so grateful that as far as we know, this very you are still there. Oh, praise God. There's one sure way that I will know when you have left the mercy seat. In the next moment, I'll be changed. So there's no need for me to worry and fret over what day, what months, because I could not be left here on this earth for a 24-hour period without an intercessor. I'm a human. I'd make a mistake if it took you 24 hours to make the transition, the transaction. And there's a million, a thousand, 10,000, whatever people around the world going in the rapture. There's no way a human living on the earth, a million of them in that span of time, they could all live mistake free for 24 hours. So when the atonement leaves the throne, the rapture must follow immediately. So there ain't enough time for an airplane. There ain't enough time for a meeting in Charlotte and a meeting over here and a meeting over there and a meeting somewhere else and a meeting somewhere else. Once you leave the throne, it's time to go home. Oh, Lord Jesus. But I pray until that day arrives, teach us how to approach you, Lord. I find it so amazing that we know so much about deep things. And I talk to people and have around the world and they don't know how to even talk to you. Don't know how to even make simple prayer and request and simple adoration in your name. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize it's not that complicated. It's not that deep. It's not that profound. But we go to you as our brother, our friend. You was made like me so I could be made like you. You didn't have infirmities. You didn't have feelings of depression and weakness. But you wanted to understand how I would feel and how these children would feel. So you was made like me. It's a marvel to me that one day I'll be changed and be made supernatural. But for supernatural to be changed, to be made natural, it's overwhelming. How that supernatural could feel depression. Supernatural could feel worry. Supernatural could feel temptation. You could be tempted to drink. Supernatural could condescend to such a state. But you did it for us. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Then if there's one here tonight that has fallen short of the glory of God, may they know we have a high priest. Not a judge. Not one sitting there at the throne with eyes as a flame of fire. Thunder and lightnings proceeding out of his mouth. Judgment. But our brother.
Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, Father. Not only for our sin, for our sickness, our infirmities, our weakness. Lord God, all of us tonight surely are in the time of need. Living this day, it's a great time of need. You got a need in your life tonight? You just raise your hand to Him. Not that you're a sinner. Not that you got sin. You need strength. You need healing. You need to move in your home, your family. Maybe your spiritual walk with God. Maybe you need an enlightenment to your position in relation to Him tonight. Maybe you need a greater understanding of what you've heard. Approach your brother tonight. Your brother. Your brother was made like you so that you could be made like him. In so much that he is not ashamed to call you brother. Oh, Lord God. Oh, think of it, friends. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Yes, I once was lost, but now, hallelujah, I was so blind. Brother Louie, would you come? Do you want to know what's going on in heaven tonight? Right now in this building, the Lord Jesus is mindful of your needs. What you come to church with so burdened. What you just whispered to Him right now when we prayed. He's waiting there on the Father's throne, waiting for your confession. Lord, I've got a need in my body, a need in my home. But according to the Word, you're my healer. According to the Word, you're my deliverer. Now, He can't move on what He said about you until you say what He said. Now, if you say, I don't know, it looks impossible. Oh, there's no way. Oh, it can't happen. He can never move on that because He never said that. He is a high priest of your profession when your profession matches His. So when you can say, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than able to do it, I know I can do it, He can move on that profession. When you say, there's no way I can do it, oh, I'm so defeated, I'm so low down, I'll never be able to do it. Don't expect God to back you up because God can't move on that kind of confession. Oh, glory. Glory! Sing, Brother Louie.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but
God reigns. Yes, our God reigns.
Yes.